This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Say yes to Pure Leaf Tea and free gas for a year only at True North Convenience Stores. When it comes to quality, say yes to the delicious taste of real brewed Pure Leaf Tea. True North stores are stocked with your favorite flavors like unsweetened, extra sweet, and raspberry. For a limited time, enter for a chance to win free gas for a year. Check the True Rewards app for details or download the mobile app from the Apple or Google Play stores. True North Convenience Stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
Yeah, sure thing.
Hey, you sold that car yet?
Yeah, sold it to Carvana.
Oh, I thought you were selling to that guy.
The guy who wanted to pay me in foreign currency, no interest over 36 months? Yeah, no. Carvana gave me an offer in minutes, picked it up, and paid me on the spot. It was so convenient.
Just like that?
Yeah.
No hassle?
None.
That is super convenient.
Sell your car to Carvana and swap hassle for convenience. Pickup fees may apply.
What's the most resilient parasite?
Prime Time with Isaac and Sue.
Can build cities, can transform the world, and rewrite all the rules.
That's what I'll be doing every single night.
Which is why...
No!
I have to steal it.
What are you talking about, Willis?
This is Prime Time with Isaac and Sue.
It's going to work. It's passable, okay? This isn't terrible.
The best in local, regional, and national sports.
With no hidden agenda.
Prime Time with Isaac and Sue on 1080 The Fan.
Hey, what it do?
Ahoy.
What's up? What are you doing?
Happy St. Patty's Day.
Yeah, it sure is.
Let's get into it. Let's go.
It's a happy day. Let's get into what?
It is a happy day. I don't know. Sports, St. Patty's, the Irish, something. Get into something.
Who was St. Patrick?
I didn't think he was Irish, actually.
Oh. Well, that's not cool.
Yeah. He was a saint in Ireland, but I don't think he was actually Irish.
Is it a little bit like Cinco de Mayo to Mexico, where in Mexico,
no.
Like in Ireland, they don't care about St. Patrick's Day?
No. If you've ever listened to anybody who's gone to Ireland for St. Patrick's Day,
That's why I was asking.
It is another level.
No, that's a whole different ballgame.
Yeah. You think we party here for St. Patrick's Day? Go to Ireland.
Yeah.
It's like going to Germany for Oktoberfest.
Yes.
Right.
Yes. They take it very, very seriously. Of all the places that I've drank around this fine world of ours, and there's plenty that take it seriously, there's nothing quite like the Irish. There's a reason why, no matter where you go, you will find an Irish pub. I think you could go to the moon and you'd be like, what? There's an Irish pub.
Oh, well, that's not lost on me. I just didn't know if the holiday specifically was one of those like, no, it's just something that the dumb Americans do, or no, we're into it here. It's our thing.
No, they're into it.
Yeah. Yeah, it's a thing.
It's their thing.
Yeah. And it's not just a thing there. It's just a thing in Europe in general. Scotland, England, everyone. It's just a look, and it's just a reason to drink. But I believe the official thing is the arrival of Christianity, if I'm not mistaken. I think that is the
So how come Ireland gets all the credit then if all the European countries celebrate it?
Yeah, again, I think it's just a reason to have a kick-ass party. But
it says here the dates of his life are uncertain.
Yeah.
There are conflicting traditions regarding the year of his death.
Yeah, and St. Patrick, isn't he like Dutch?
Well, no, don't. He's Roman. Roman? Yeah. Sub-Roman?
British Christian
Britain.
Missionary.
Yeah.
Yeah. So he was in Ireland. He's the apostle of Ireland, but he was not Irish. But he gets credit for bringing Christianity to Ireland, which I'm not certain if that's a good thing or not, if you know the history of Ireland. A little bit of a problem there between the Catholics and the Protestants. Why are you going there? But either way, it's a reason to celebrate the Irish and basically just have a great kick-ass party.
Did you also know that he is notably the patron saint of Nigeria?
I did not know that.
St. Patrick?
No.
Yeah.
Not familiar.
Now you do.
Yeah.
True story.
I celebrated twice, so I will not be celebrating on the actual St. Patrick's Day. I have St. Patty's Day enough over the weekend.
Does that mean it's a big deal in Nigeria, too? Do you think they go hard for
that? I don't know.
He's their patron saint and all.
But yeah, I St. Patrick on Friday, and then unfortunately I did it again on Sunday. Took a break on Saturday, so Monday, no, we're good. We'll fill out some brackets. I'll pretend I know what I'm doing when it comes to that. I'll wait for BYU to get waxed in the first round. And I've already seen that, like, from a statistical standpoint, I think it's the second most likely upset in the first round. That's exciting. And then we'll move on. We're good. I've got enough green. I've ingested enough Irish whiskey over the holiday. We're good to go. I'm ready to sports. And more importantly, guys, TGL playoffs. I mean, come on.
That's right.
Yeah. Come on. Who doesn't know that?
I'm a little disappointed in you.
Why?
Because you were not aware that it's TGL Monday.
Well, they spent all year giving us TGL Tuesday.
Yeah.
And now they got the playoffs on a Monday.
Yeah. Yeah, they're throwing you for a loop.
They didn't want to double up. They wanted to stretch it over 2 days rather than put.
We have TGL Tuesday. It's like when the NFL starts moving their playoffs to Saturday and Friday.
Tomorrow might be the next great sports day on the calendar with TGL playoffs.
Yeah.
March Madness play ins.
Yeah.
And baseball opening day from Japan.
Yes. Yes.
How about my
3 in the morning?
How about my Hanshin Tigers? By the way,
is it really?
Given the business to both the Cubs and the Dodgers.
How about that?
Yeah, that's my team over there. I'm an avid supporter, considering I've been to one game and bought a jersey. But yeah, they gave the business to both the Cubbies and the Dodgers.
So more importantly, the final four of the TGL.
Uh-huh.
Tonight we get LA versus New York.
Do you have any idea what the LA or New York teams are?
I think LA has Justin Thomas.
No, that's not right. He was on the... He was on either Atlanta or Jupiter.
Oh, he's Atlanta. You're right.
So you know nothing.
Yeah. I sent this to Isaac earlier, and it is...
More St. Patrick's news.
Yeah, New York is Xander Schauffele, Ricky Fowler, and Cam Young.
Okay.
Against L.A., who is Colin Morikawa, Tommy Fleetwood, and Sahith Tagala.
Ooh.
Oh.
I'm going L.A. there.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, the L.A. Golf Club.
We're on L.A. tonight.
Such a creative name.
And then tomorrow, I think it's Atlanta against...
I don't think Boston made it, and I don't think Jupiter made it. So By the way, Bay Club.
I would just like to point out that I'm on the TGL website, the Atlanta Drive that team consists of the most boring looking human beings on the planet.
Well, it's golf.
I mean, but look at this.
Horschel, Glover, Thomas, and Cantlay.
Can you find four more boring, generic white guys? I mean, for heaven's sakes, it's like I'm. That right there, are they going to win me a golf tournament or help me with my retirement portfolio?
Most boring of those four?
Yeah.
Patrick Cantlay.
Yeah. I'm falling asleep just looking at their photo.
I've started to like Horschel. He's a good interview. He's a little bit spicy.
Yeah, he's got
some
spice.
Did you see him at the Players over the weekend?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, because
I don't know where it's going. I'm just trying to get in the house as soon as possible.
Nothing says spicy like indoor golf on a Monday. Ooh.
That's right.
Well, I was talking about outdoor golf, but yeah, he plays them both. Yeah.
So here's the other thing about St. Patrick.
Mm-hmm.
Did you know that he was captured at the age of 16 from his family's villa by a group of Irish pirates?
Oh.
Nice.
But obviously they didn't kill him.
It's like Count of Monte Cristo stuff.
Yeah.
They took him to Ireland where he was enslaved. He was held captive there.
Oh.
And that's how.
That's how he brought Christianity?
Yeah.
So he broke out and then eventually was like, hey, don't kidnap me. Christ is great. And then everyone was like, hooray.
What do you think an Irish pirate sounds like?
That's a good question. Well, I think we have I think when we think of pirate, I think we have a very cartoonish version of the pirate. I don't think that's what pirates were. Well, it's like when you see like a Viking and they have horns and no Viking ever wore horns. Yeah, I think that's more of a Disneyland sort of thing. Pirates of the Caribbean. I doubt pirates were walking around, doing the R with eye patches and peg legs.
They probably just sound like angrier, regular Irish people.
That would be my guess.
More drunk.
There you go.
Yeah, drunker, angrier, regular Irish people.
Yeah. Well, I think the Irish and the Scottish, they unfortunately, they had the whole religion thing, and then they weren't very good at, like, protecting it. So a lot of people, like the pirates, I know the Vikings spent a lot of years going there and being like, wait. You have a lot of, like, cool stuff and no one here to defend it. Oh, that's awesome. We're going to come in and kill you. And it turns out that one of them got enslaved and then brought Christianity there. So go St. Patrick.
Yeah. So who's ready to sports? You guys want to do some sports talk today?
Let's do it.
We love that sports talk here.
Sports.
I love this time of year. We got TGL. We got
well, the players wrapped up today. That was kind of fun.
Yeah, we got March Madness.
I thought you'd be a little excited about a Monday playoff. Or do you like when the tournament is tied up in a neat bow on Sunday?
The Monday playoff is a 6 a.m. playoff. Yeah. It's kind of a bummer.
I missed it. But I would have loved it to have finished last night. Mm. But we did have Rory. Buckley and I did have Rory. We win again.
Red hot and rolling.
We can't lose right now.
Our Timbers play to a massive draw on Sunday. How about that? I know that excites
you. Our Timbers,
you. Our Timbers. A big 1-1 draw with L.A.
And start of the F1 season in Australia.
Yeah, F1. Yeah. There's a new Drive to Survive out. We've got, as Buck mentioned, technically opening day tomorrow.
It's an embarrassment of riches. An embarrassment of... And we're still waiting to see what Aaron Rodgers is going to do.
Rodgers. Yeah. We're excited to talk sports.
Russell Wilson is being told to stand down. Aaron Rodgers is a little bitch. See what happens.
What do you mean, stand down? What does that mean?
Well, we're waiting to see. Like, Russell Wilson is going to go where Aaron Rodgers isn't going to go. So,
Mr. Unlimited.
He has to just wait.
We have to wait for Aaron Rodgers to make his decision. So Russell Wilson's just sitting around. If you ever want, like, your pride hurt, realize that everyone who hates Aaron Rodgers but still wants him more than you.
All right. Well, we're going to start with Bucky Brackets.
Yeah.
Or perhaps Suki Brackets.
Yeah.
Roppy Brackets.
Let's pretend that I know, what Gonzaga versus Georgia is going to be like, that big 8-9. I would like a detailed breakdown of UCLA, Utah State as well from you.
Wait, they're playing?
They are playing.
Yep. 7-10, I think, right? 7-10 matchup?
I believe you are correct.
Well, we already have a trendy 12-5 upset.
Of course.
We already have that. We have several oddities. We've got a blue blood in the first four. The SEC, basically, their whole league is in there.
Yeah. West Virginia is calling for congressional investigation.
We hear about that in Stockwatch today.
Can I tell you? Just for the record, if you are a member of the fine institution of American government and you decide to take time out of your somewhat busy day...
This will be the topic.
What in God's name? Dude, if you haven't seen this...
It's something.
Yeah. West Virginia apparently is losing their mind because their mediocre team was the last team left out of the tournament.
They were the bubble team that got jobbed. There's one every year, and they're making a big old stink about it.
Robbery at the highest level and is demanding investigations.
I don't really know that they got jobbed. They just didn't do enough to get in the tournament.
I know.
That's correct. I guess based on people who analyzed this stuff beforehand, they kind of had a straw poll of teams that would make it. And 111 out of 111 analysts all had him in the field.
Well,
and,
but they also lost to Colorado the other day.
Yeah, in the opening round of the tournament.
I'm not saying they're good.
Well, and then North Carolina, I think his big thing is that
North Carolina.
The chair of the committee is the North Carolina guy.
And we will talk about that, too.
And suddenly, North Carolina is in. But North Carolina should have been in. They were hot and almost beat Duke.
All I know is that the dip as governor, Patrick Morrissey, I believe is his name.
Yeah, that's right, I think.
He stood up there at his little podium on his press conference with a board, the little placard.
The logo's the best part.
The logo, and it said, instead of the NCAA... I want to pull this.
Yeah, it still said NCAA, but it changed the meaning.
Yeah, it said National Corrupt Athletic Association.
Oh, sick burn.
That
sick
burn. Dumbass went to someone in the governor's office, went to like Kinko's and printed up an alternate NCAA logo so he could put on his little lectern
there. And he probably had to find one that was 24 hours because it was already past closing time on Sunday in Morgantown or wherever is. And he went to a professional sign printing place before his little presser this morning.
You're 19-13 and you lost in the first round of your conference tournament to the worst team in the conference.
It's a miscarriage of justice and robbery of the highest order.
Do you think that he even knows who the coach of the team is?
Probably not.
I bet he can't even name the coach.
No. He's just, what? West Virginia? Probably thinks it's Dana Holger. I mean, just every year there's one governor, there's one congressman, there's someone that decides that this is going to be their rallying cry and then demands investigations. I want the FBI involved. We need to look into this. How on earth did a 19-13 team that got bounced in the first round of their conference tournament not make it? It's a miscarriage of justice.
Well, we'll have more on that in our Stock Watch coming up at 4:15. I think we're going to call it Buckley Brackets. Coming up next.
I would like to hear Buckley's hot lines. You know he's already got like half a dozen.
I got some bets in already.
Isaac and I were texting about it earlier.
Dude, we're all over this. Come on, man.
You know what? It might even be Bar 2 Brackets. He helped me out quite a bit over
it's
the weekend.
It's go time. Yeah. There we go.
I bet. You see that the women's tournament no one's betting on, unfortunately.
Why not?
No Caitlin Clark.
Oh. Yeah. Yeah.
She's not in it?
No. Turns out that...
why not?
Unfortunately, the...
Caitlin Clark is white.
The interest and the numbers and all that. Not that it's not good, but it's...
Who's the best team? South Carolina?
South Carolina. UCLA is really good. USC is good. Paige Buckets. UConn's pretty good.
She's still there?
Yeah, she's still there, man. She's on that Cherokee Parks plan.
No kidding.
Yeah, she's still there.
Like she's been there for 18 years.
It does feel like that. So she is there. Yeah, their number one seeds are UCLA, South Carolina, and who is the other one? And the number one seed, USC. Hey, look at that. We got three of the four, and then Texas, which I...
Texas?
Yeah. Texas is the other number one seed. And the Lady Duckies made it, and I thought they were kind of a bubble team, but they ended up making it. They're a 10 seed, taking on the mighty Lady Vanderbilt Commodores?
Boy, I tell you, we got a lot of hate for North Carolina coming in. This is a hot topic, apparently, with people.
One of the hottest.
They are not happy about this.
Yeah. For God's sakes.
1-12 against quad one schools.
Someone said we cannot respectfully argue that North Carolina should not be in this tournament.
Wait.
There's a lot of knots in there.
I'm confused.
Yeah, well,
we cannot, should not, wait,
you
what is
cannot
it?
Respectfully argue North Carolina should not be in the tournament.
So I think this...
Does that make sense?
I think it's confusing, but he's saying that you can't argue that they should be in.
He thinks they are not. They should not be in.
Almost everyone thinks they should not be in.
And he believes...
At least that's what internet seems like they're on fire with today.
Steven, he believes you cannot even respectfully argue that, which I think is absurd.
Can I honestly tell you that, one, I don't care, but I did see across my Twitter timeline, Stephen A. was on there today yelling, saying that it was a miscarriage of justice.
All right. Let's start with Buckley Brackets next on The Fan. All right, it's time for Buckley Brackets, followed by Suki Brackets and then Rappi Brackets. I'm looking at North Carolina. Boy, I tell you, the text line, you know, they're fired up over this.
Okay.
They are.
It's our sports controversy du jour.
I'm just saying, I've said it a million times, if you are pissed off because you are the 65th team, actually it's not because the play-in, so it's the
69th team,
right? So if you're the 69th team in America and you feel that you're the 67th, shut the F up. I just don't care. It's like if you're the, you know, BYU this year in football, right? You could have made an argument that they belonged, you know, they with SMU, but you weren't. You were the 16th best team in a 12-team playoff. So shut up. No one cares. But in football, we don't listen. But in basketball, for whatever reason, we do this every year, whether it's Syracuse or North Carolina or West Virginia. Or I think one year it was Rick Pitino and St. John's. It might have been last year that the Johnnies got left out. Why? Why do we care? What happened to the 71st best team in America? Go away. You were 19-13 and lost in the first round of your conference tournament against the worst team in the conference in Colorado. You don't get to complain. You just don't.
So a lot of people. So in the event that people in our audience care, unlike you, a lot of people are bringing up the fact that North Carolina was 1-12 in quad one games.
Yeah, but I think they were undefeated in quad two games, which is the argument. And then they
but 1-12. Well, this guy said, I just wanted to say this because there's a dude who said you cannot make a respectful argument for North Carolina. We're getting a lot of that. Like, this is a travesty type of thing. I'm like, no, I mean, it's not that. Look, I get what you're saying about, you know, a team on the bubble, they're on the bubble, mm-hmm. meaning it could be in, it could be out.
Yeah.
So either way, you put yourself there, you don't have too much of a leg to stand on. Oh. That said, I think the what's going on with North Carolina right now is that many people are just simply saying there's no way that team should be in the tournament, which is a little different. But right here is, to me, a respectful argument. I was just looking at KenPom, which mm-hmm. is a huge college basketball advanced analytic, and North Carolina is two spots below Oregon.
Yeah.
They're 33rd.
Yeah.
So that right there is a respectful argument, is it not?
And the other one was they damn near beat Duke in the tournament, and then I heard something else that West Virginia's best player, or one of their best players, coach's kid, isn't going to play. He's hurt.
Well, he got hurt really early in the year.
He got hurt early in the year, but they said that there is something about availability, right? And they brought that up. And then the one that has people all hot and bothered is that one of the committee chairs is a North Carolina guy. And he does get a bonus for North Carolina getting into the tournament. But this is the same thing we face when you're doing the NCAA football, or I guess not the NCAA, but the college football playoff, is there's people in there that have affiliations to schools, and they do say that when one of your schools is being discussed, they have to recuse themselves from it. And this guy from North Carolina said the same thing. When it came to North Carolina, he had someone else lead those discussions. And you can sit here and say that the fix was in and that guy had influence. You can't prove it. Like, what sort of investigate? You're really going to get someone from that committee that's going to be like, oh, no, we did this because the guy paid us off? No. So there's always the fact of the matter is who's ever on this selection committee, football, basketball or otherwise, there's going to be conflicts of interest. And there's things set up in place to make sure, or at least try to provide some sort of barrier. And so there isn't interference. Outside of that, there's nothing you can do. So to say that you want transparency, they gave you transparency. You can sit there and they'll tell you why. The last four out were Indiana, Ohio State, Boise State, West Virginia. And West Virginia was the first one out. And they lay out the case for it. And then up to that, you can be mad and be like, well, you know, again, quad one wins. And then someone else can bring up the fact that they were better at the end of the year and quad two wins. And they're going to bring up that West Virginia's best player isn't available. And it's all subjective. And we're not talking about the difference between one versus two. You're talking about 69 versus 70.
Yeah, so I think one of the problems here is that North Carolina is a blue blood.
Yeah.
And that pisses people off.
Sure.
But I also think, and you know, they're also doing the conspiracy theory thing of, well, having a blue blood like North Carolina in the play-in mm-hmm. is going to be great for ratings, and yeah. it will.
Sure.
I mean, a blue blood in the first four, yeah. that's a quality move.
But that's millions more people watching that game on Tuesday than would otherwise.
Can I also like to point out, this is a $1 billion contract every year, right? The NCAA gets $1 billion off of this, and that deal is signed well in advance. And so, yes, San Diego State, who was in a Final Four not too long ago, versus North Carolina.
That's the game.
That's the game.
Good game.
Great game, right?
Good little ball game.
Yeah.
Right, Buckley brackets?
Yeah.
So that certainly draws more eyeballs than West Virginia and San Diego State. But can we please stop with the idea that the, let's say, 500,000, 300,000, I don't know what it's going to be, but it's not going to be millions. So can we stop pretending that 100,000 or so people difference in this game, viewers, makes one bit of iota as far as revenue, as far as what they're going to sell the NCAA thing? They're playing games. They're just tossaways. The reason why this exists in the first place is that we have more TV to offer in our contract. This number does not make a difference to the NCAA. So let's stop with the idea that Inspector Gadget's like Dr. Claw's evil henchmen are sitting there being like, I know how we can cook up a little better ratings for the first game of the play-in by screwing over West Virginia.
Not only are they 33rd in KenPom, they're ahead of Connecticut and Creighton.
So you can make an objective argument.
Yes, you can make a respectful argument. I'm not saying they should or shouldn't,
but it's not insane
that they got in the tournament. Yes. Dude, they almost beat Duke.
Yeah, it's one thing if you're saying that...
It's insane.
If you're putting someone that's, you know, that's sub 500, that, you know, that's one thing, but it's not. We all knew going into that some teams were on the bubble. And I didn't hear a lot about West Virginia, but I did hear a ton about Indiana. And the idea was Indiana needed to beat Oregon to get in. And they didn't. And they ended up being out. And we heard a lot about North Carolina, that North Carolina needed a good showing. And they had a pretty good showing. They should have beat Duke. No Cooper Flag, but they should have beat Duke. They didn't. But a lot of people after that game said, I think they did enough.
I got to tell you, I've watched those teams. Who was the fourth team? Boise State?
The last four in were Boise State, Indiana.
Last four out
was Boise State, Indiana, Ohio State, and West Virginia.
I've watched all of those teams except Boise State. Mm-hmm. Okay, I have no comment on Boise State. But I've watched Indiana, and I've watched West Virginia, and I've watched... who else did you say? Just say
West Virginia, Indiana, Ohio State, Boise State.
Ohio State. They were hot garbage.
Yeah.
North Carolina is better than all three of those teams. One guy. But I've watched all of them. North Carolina is a better team than Indiana. They're a better team than Ohio State, and they're a better team than West Virginia.
You can't make that argument, Rob.
No, I can't with Boise because I haven't seen them. But that's just, you know, I don't know. Anyway, not to belabor the point. But to belabor the point.
The National Corrupt Athletic Association, the greatest travesty in the history of sports, according to the West Virginia governor.
We Dude, okay,
go get your constituents off of meth for a second, okay? Do something for West Virginia, because this right here isn't helping anybody.
Well, the other thing, too, is isn't it, I don't know if the stats bear this out, or history bears this out, but it feels like, doesn't a team from the first four always make a run in the tournament?
It does seem that way. I'll look it up, but I want to say that over the last handful of years, there's been one that has made the Sweet 16.
I feel like UCLA made the Final Four out of that thing.
I'll take a look.
History.
So watch North Carolina win. Not saying they will.
That's what's going to happen. They're going to win, not just their play-in, but also their next game. Yeah.
Well, I think the one was, if I'm not mistaken, I believe Syracuse is the one you're talking about.
Made the Final
I think
Four.
Syracuse was the last team in. And Syracuse, I do think, made a run to the Final Four.
And they had to play in the first
four? I think they had to play in the first four.
Wow.
But I will...
All right. You double-check that.
I am not Suki Brackets.
Suki Brackets.
But I will do Suki Bracket research and find out if that Syracuse stat is true.
All right. Buckley Brackets is next. Here's Buckley.
What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Where'd you get those shoes? Easy. They're from DSW, because DSW has the exact right shoes for whatever you're into right now. You know, like the sneakers that make office hours feel like happy hour, the boots that turn grocery aisles into runways, and all the styles that show off the many sides of you, from daydreamer to multitasker and everything in between, because you do it all in really great shoes. Find a shoe for every you at your DSW store or DSW.com.
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. Indeed's sponsored jobs help you stand out and hire fast. With sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. And it makes a huge difference. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Plus, with Indeed sponsored jobs, there are no monthly subscriptions, no long-term contracts, and you only pay for results. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/listen. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/listen. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
Take me out to the ball game.
What are you doing?
Did you know DirecTV has the most MLB games?
So, you're singing?
Yeah, they put your favorite teams front and center right when you turn it on. Buy me some cold cuts and flapjacks.
Those aren't even the words.
I'm allergic to peanuts.
Stream DirecTV, home of the most MLB games. Visit DirecTV.com. Claim based on total games offered on national and regional sports networks. RSNs available with choice package or higher. Availability of RSNs varies by zip code and package.
It's that time of year again. My schedule is packed with bracket-busting, three-point shooting, nonstop basketball action. I don't want to miss a second of it. That's why I go for a five-hour energy shot. They're perfect for my days packed with back-to-back games, or whenever my favorite team is playing late. 5-Hour Energy keeps me going during the broadcast and the next morning when I need to get myself up and to work. Visit 5hourenergy.com for great deals and to stock up before tip-off.
Research. Yeah. The year Syracuse made the run to the Final Four, they were the last team in sans play-ins. Okay. So they just made it. Okay. And
They were an 11.
And they went on and made the Final Four. Now, two play-in teams have made the Final Four.
Yeah.
2010-2011 VCU was a play-in team.
And, Shaka Smart.
And they beat Georgetown, Purdue, Florida State,
Kansas.
And then lost to Butler in the Final Four.
I remember that.
And then I do remember this run, but I don't remember them being a play-in. But 2020, UCLA.
Yeah.
Was a play-in.
2021.
Yeah, 20.
Because they didn't have a tournament.
Yeah, 2020-2021. It's the 2020 season into the 2020.
Yeah, Mick Cronin.
Because I do remember they beat BYU in the first round, who was a sixth seed, and then they got Abilene Christian, Alabama, Michigan, and they lost in OT to Gonzaga. So we have had two teams, and then there's been a bunch that have made other runs. So, yes, I mean, almost every year, one of these play-in teams has made some kind of noise.
Well, I don't root for North Carolina, but I'm kind of rooting for them to beat San Diego State now and shut all these people up and go on a run.
Yeah. Well, remember, Florida Atlantic beat Purdue, who was that was the second 16 versus 1 of all time, too.
Do you remember who UConn beat in the final last year?
UConn beat...
Zach Edey and Purdue, right?
Yeah, Purdue.
Yep. Because
that was
right.
That was the year after Purdue got bounced as a one seed.
Right.
Yep. They made it all the way to the final.
Yeah. And I remember everyone was laughing at Purdue, and then Purdue came back and gave everyone the Scrooge.
Yeah, they almost did the Virginia, where it was the lose to a 16 and come back and win the whole thing the next year.
Yeah. Except UConn was quite good. So
very good.
Yeah.
Yeah, they're not quite as good this year.
Well, it turns out losing, you know, to what top what was Klingon, 7 or 8?
Klingon was 7?
Because Castle went in the top 5 and then Klingon after that. So turns out losing two of the top, I don't know, 7 players in the NBA draft, yeah, that hurts.
Hurts your program.
Yeah.
So UConn's won the last two, Kansas before that and Baylor before that. Mm-hmm. And then we had COVID. So then,
oh, yeah.
You know.
That's a no countsies.
But, yeah, the SEC getting a lot of love today.
14 teams, right?
They have 14 of their 16 teams in the tournament.
Yeah, it's pretty good.
That's nuts.
That's pretty...
I mean, imagine finishing 14th out of 16 in your league and making the field.
Well, I remember talking, like, halfway through the year, people were saying that this SEC conference might be the single best year for a conference in the history of the NCAA.
It's nasty.
Yeah, they were just...
So the team that finished 14th and made the tournament is Texas.
Yeah.
And they are going to play first four. They play Xavier... either tomorrow or Wednesday.
And that was another one we were watching. Texas had that bananas game against A&M, right? And they were like, hey, that could be, you know, that could be Texas head on the plate. And much like North Carolina, even in a loss, they felt that they had done enough to get in.
They also have 6 of the top 16 seeds in the field.
Yes.
That said, I will say that I feel that there are a couple of SEC teams that...
You're a little overrated?
Yeah, they're overrated because they're in that league.
Sure.
And well, maybe they won a few home games, like upset a team at home. Like Oklahoma, for example. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I don't know.
Well,
Vanderbilt's another one.
Like, I haven't seen Arkansas play, but Kansas, who I have seen play a bunch, who's extremely inconsistent. Like, Kansas is the 7th seed, and they're playing Arkansas.
That's a fun little matchup.
Like,
good game.
You know, is that one of those that you give the benefit of the doubt to the blue blood, or do you give it to the team from the conference that was just a nut punch all year?
I got to tell you, I don't have a real good feel for it.
Yeah.
Because... One, Kansas, they kind of kept it on the rails, even though it looked to be off the rails. Mm. Like, they're just limited. I mean, they're good, and Bill Self is a good coach, and they play their ass off, and they can play defense. But they have they don't shoot. They have no real offense unless they get a matchup where Hunter Dickinson, who's 7 feet, can just feast. And even then, he'll brick half his shots. But... Arkansas is weird because they've had a couple injuries lately, and I think they're getting Boogie Flan back for this game, and he's like an NBA prospect. Yeah. He's been out, so and he got John Calipari, so that's a juicy little matchup.
Well, and I saw too. I was just kind of going through, and I mean, to be honest, we watch a lot of Big 12 basketball in here because Kansas and BYU. I catch more Big 10 basketball than I do SEC basketball because I try to keep an eye on the Ducks. But there's a lot of teams, especially in the Big 10, that just don't shoot the ball very well. And then, like, kind of looking around, sounds like that's like a St. John's thing. Like, they don't shoot the ball very well. There's a lot of teams that are high seeds that just play defense and don't shoot particularly well. And that can lead to some funky things because if you're a defensive team that really can't play from behind and you get one of these little small ball teams that run around and just jack threes and you get a team that gets hot, they just bury you.
Yep.
And you just have the inability to come from behind them. That's Oregon. Like, when Oregon isn't hitting threes, dude, their offense can look dreadful. I mean, outside of Biddle, you know, we've seen these games where Shellstad goes cold and, you know, he has an 0-for-7 night from behind the arc, and all of a sudden Oregon's offense just looks dreadful. And that's like half of college basketball, which is why it's hard to pick these things. It comes down to matchup and style of play and, you know, again, who just can get hot and hit shots.
Yeah, making threes is a big one. And how the hell you predict that?
Yeah.
You know.
I couldn't, you know.
I mean, you could bet on all the good three-point shooting teams, but they can go ice cold, too. It's college basketball.
Well, and like, I've seen the best team that I've seen play And again, I'm probably biased because I watched both of these games. I watched Houston, and I think BYU is a pretty good team. It's probably the best BYU team that I've seen. And Houston has absolutely annihilated them. And, I mean, beat them by 31 and like 20. But both of those games, they just beat the living hell out of them. And then you always hear that in the NCAA tournament that they call games a little bit closer, right? They don't let teams just beat you up. And so when I watch Houston, they just seem scary athletic to me. But it also, as I've watched them, I'm like, dude, they get away with just beating the living crap out of you. And if we start blowing whistles and we don't let Houston get up in your jock, you know, all of a sudden, does Houston become what I think is the best team I saw? You want to ride this jock? Let's go. And then does Houston just become a team that's ripe to get picked off by someone that can get up and down the floor and not let him get into that half court grinded out game?
Yeah, I was gonna I'll present this to you next, but I went back and looked because it feels like there've just been a lot of, because you know we for the last handful of years the theme has been parity in college basketball, right? Parity. Like last year, NC State was an 11 seed; they made the Final Four. So, do you remember that?
I do remember that. Can I tell you the only reason I remember that is because I went through and looked at last year's.
Do knew that. You kind of have to remind yourself.
And I will say that this was on Sunday. I was like, oh, North Carolina State was in the Final Four.
Well, I went through and looked because I feel like, in my head, I feel like this is a very top-heavy field where the best teams, like the Houstons and the Floridas and the Dukes, are seriously legit to the point where we might just get, this might just be a chalky-ass tournament. So then I was like, well, does that really ever happen, especially lately? And I went back and I looked at how many years in a row we have had a five seed or worse in the Final Four. And I have that for you.
Ooh,
So the next segment will be Roppy Brackets.
Oh, I love it.
Bringing some heat.
Dude, these brackets have my bracket pants so tight.
I love the brackets. I mean, the brackets, that's the fun thing about the brackets is you don't really have to have watched everything. You just, there's a lot of information, stats. There's just a lot of different angles on this tournament that you can take.
Sure.
Where it's, you know, I mean,
I'm with you. I like reading about, because again, I didn't watch Drake play. But it's kind
Drake.
Of,
yeah. I did see them once.
Did you?
Yes.
Didn't see him play.
I watched him play Kansas State.
What did you think?
I thought they were excellent. And let me tell you something about them. Here's what I know about them, and I think this is right. Because this is going to be our show all week. I think. Aren't they one of the most experienced teams in all of college basketball? Don't you like experience?
Yes.
In the tournament? That's a thing?
And they're like 30-3.
Yeah.
And they play the slowest.
They're slow.
They play the slowest tempo of any team.
And they're a bunch of whiteies. But I tell you what, they were really tough. Yeah.
Hot.
Now, not that Kansas State was any good, because they weren't. But I think Drake is like one of the, it's a bunch of old guys.
Mm-hmm.
You know.
Yeah.
And that, you know, experience in the tournament.
Yeah, I love, it's just, it's fun to read through teams that you have no idea anything
Drake.
About them. And just from reading an article or two, you'll be like, well, I like
them. Yeah.
I like this.
Well, yeah.
And I got something's on.
The beautiful thing is you do get the groupthink, and we will get to this coming up too, but there is already, I mean, dude, the brackets weren't out for 6 seconds and a trendy 12-5 upset had hit.
Yeah.
Everybody's talking about this one, and we'll tell you who that is. I will give you a hint that it is not Oregon.
Oh, thank God.
Because Oregon is a 5.
Yes.
And everybody every year picks a, you know, there's always a 12-5.
Except the 6-11 has become
the new 12-5.
The new 12. And you know who everyone is picking in the 6-11?
BYU?
Yeah.
I don't see
it. But they're not picking BYU.
I know, VCU.
They're picking VCU to roll over.
I don't see it.
Roll over my boys.
All right, we'll get to all of that as Roppy Brackets is up next on The Fan. Okay, calling for the ball here. From Suki Brackets.
Take it, run it, baby.
Buckley Brackets. It'll be Roppy Brackets here.
Roppy Brackets in the high post. I love it. Let's go.
And so
I want to run!
Drake. Their coach is Ben McCollum. He's in his first year there. They're 30-3. And if you look at minutes continuity, which is a thing, they rate very low. But that's because they did all the guys that he had at Northwest Missouri State.
Yeah, he brought them all, right?
They all moved to Drake. So it won't show that they've played together a lot because it's their first year technically at D1.
But they have.
They won, I guess he won 4 national titles at the Division 2 level.
Sure.
at Northwest Missouri State, and he's now Drake, and they are really well coached and really good.
It's a little bit like
doing.
when old Indiana, our guy Scagnetti did that. He brought all those guys with him from like James Madison.
Kurt Cignetti.
Yeah, he brought all the guys with him from James Madison.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah. Google me, bitch.
So the early, my early thought is, man, watching Florida and watching Duke, if Cooper Flagg's healthy, and watching Houston and some of these elite teams, this could be all chalk. Because the, I don't know if it's true, but it seems in my head that these teams are just, dude, every year the number one seeds are obviously the best teams in college basketball, but it feels to me like this year, these teams are head and shoulders. Auburn is another one.
Yeah.
Those four teams right there are head and shoulders better than everyone else. Not that they can't lose, but I was just thinking, as if I'm filling out a bracket, it might be that chalky year. So a number one seed has won the NCAA tournament six of the last seven times. But as we've been talking about parity all these years here recently, I went back and looked at how often a five seed or worse is in the Final Four. And you actually have to go back 12 years to find a Final Four that had all four seeds or better in it.
Yeah, there's always someone.
There. 12 straight.
There's always someone. I think we were talking about this over the last year or two that, like, if you're playing strictly math, and like if you're saying you're taking statistical probability, I think it's you take two ones, and then you take somewhere between one, two, and five, a two seed and a five seed, and then you take one that's between like a 6 and 11. I think that statistically speaking has played out over the last handful of whatever it is, 15 tournaments or whatever. I think something like that has played out to be your Final Four.
So last year, NC State was in the Final Four. They were an 11.
Yeah.
2023 was Florida Atlantic. They were a 9. 2022 was North Carolina. They made it all the way to the final.
Yeah.
Kansas beat them. They were an 8. 2021 was that UCLA team that was in the first four.
Mm-hmm.
2020, we didn't have a tournament. 2019, Auburn was the lowest seed in the, or the highest seed, I guess I should say, in the Final Four. They were a 5.
Yeah.
2018 was that Loyola Chicago team that was an 11. 2017 was South Carolina, and that was the year Oregon made the Final Four.
I remember that South Carolina team. Who was the was the coach that was seeing ghosts?
Yeah, his name is...
Was it Frank Martin?
Yeah, that was Frank Martin.
They were a K-State coach, too, I think.
Yeah.
They were a 7. 2016, Syracuse made it as a 10. 2015, Michigan State made it as a 7. 2014, Kentucky made it as an 8. And 2013 was the year Wichita State made it as a 9. You got to go all the way back to 2012, where we had Kentucky as a 1, Louisville as a 4, Kansas and Ohio State were 2s.
But this was the other thing, and it bared it out right there. Remember I said you pick two 1s, like a 2 through a 5, and then a 6 to an 11. You don't pick anyone above an 11. Like the,
yeah, there was not anybody above an 11. But there were three 11s.
That's what they were saying, that if you want, you pick one from that pool of 6 to 11, but you don't pick a 12.
You know what else I think is interesting is if you look at the teams that I just listed that were high seeds in the Final Four,
mm-hmm.
a lot of times it's a blue blood.
Yeah.
Like North Carolina this year.
Yeah.
North Carolina an 8, UCLA 11,
Syracuse
a 10, Michigan State a 7, Kentucky an 8. Not always. Auburn was in there as a 5. So it's like I don't have the bracket in front of me,
mm-hmm.
but who is, besides North Carolina as an 11, who is a blue blood program that is just kind of having a down year but still has good players?
That's sniffing around that 8 to 11 seed. Louisville's an 8. And I've heard some people say that Louisville's pretty good.
They get to play in Lexington, which is a nice little...
They're a team with a gripe. If you look back historically of teams that were essentially like, what was it, in the AP top 10 at the end of the season, they almost always get a top 3 seed, and they got drilled all the way down to number 8 seed.
Yeah, I don't think the committee really liked the ACC all that much.
Yeah.
I will say this about Louisville. You know, they get to play in Lexington, but as an 8 seed, which is wild... Auburn better watch out if Louisville or Creighton. I mean, that's a good...
That could be wild.
I tell you what, Louisville versus Creighton as an 8-9, I think both of those teams are looking at that going, why are we on this line?
Yeah.
There's not
that's an electric game, first round.
There's not a lot, by the way, that fit that criteria.
And by the way, both of those teams were in their conference tournament final.
Yep. Finals.
And they still got an 8-9. You know, here's another one real quick before you get back to what you're looking at. Dude, Gonzaga... They are number 9 in KenPom.
Yep.
And they are an 8 seed.
That's right where it's funny, because I said there's not a lot that fit that mold criteria, but that's another one that Ken Palm and some of the analytics like Gonzaga a lot more than I think most people. And Gonzaga came back and won the West Coast Conference Tournament with one of like the ugliest shooting performances known to man, and yet here they are. So again, right off Gonzaga at your own
peril. So they're number 9, like in the country, the 9th best team on Ken Palm, but yet they're an 8 seed. Meanwhile, Memphis is number 51 in Ken Palm, and they're a 5 seed.
Yeah, so Gonzaga Gonzaga gets Georgia, and then they would see Houston in the second round, who's a number 1. Like you said, Carolina's an 11, San Diego State's an 11. They would kind of fit that mold. Other than that, there's just not a lot in there that you would...
Well, Kansas is a 7, but I can tell you they're not going to the final.
And then if you wanted to do Baylor is a 9, and Baylor would get Duke in the second round if they get by Mississippi State.
Yeah,
so,
they've got some talent.
Yeah, they got some talent. I've seen some people say that maybe if Cooper Flagg isn't 100%, Baylor could give them problems, but there's just not a lot this year
Flags!
When I'm looking between that 8 and 11 line that would fit the blue blood. The one that would probably do it that I've seen that people actually picking would be Louisville. Louisville at 8.
All right. Well, there's Roppy brackets.
Yeah.
Do we need Suki brackets coming up next?
I think we already kind of had our Suki brackets, didn't we?
Oh.
I passed you the ball.
And I scored.
Yeah. I mean, we've gone around. I was in the triple threat position. I was ready to dribble, shoot, or pass.
Wait.
More than likely dribble it off my foot, but still.
I'm open.
It's going back to you.
Send it back over here.
Let's go.
Swing it.
I've got the trendy 12-5 upset that everyone's talking about already.
Yes, because I don't like that the trendy 6-11 upset is BYU losing to VCU.
Yeah, a lot of people like VCU there.
Yeah.
I don't buy it. Richie Saunders, dude, they lost in the first round last year. Yes. Richie Saunders ain't bowing out in the first round.
Let's go, Richie!
It ain't happening.
Tater Tot King.
That guy will be very disappointed in my guy, Richie Saunders,
yeah,
and his headband if he goes home in the first round.
Yeah, me too. But they are saying that like VCU is... they're saying VCU is good. Like, they were dominant in conference.
But so
play.
Is BYU, yeah. Okay?
Yeah.
And so they haven't seen Richie.
No. They haven't seen our whites. Okay. They haven't seen our whites.
Yeah, so there's a 20-12...
A 20?
A 20-12-5 upset.
I love the 20-12-5.
And we'll get to that next on The Fan.
Hey, it's Jim Costa with Cash the Ticket. It's March. So Mike Vilani and I are all over the tournament again this year. There's just nothing like betting in March. Breakdowns of every region and every game. From conference tournaments to the Final Horn, we'll have the picks and the plays on every single game. Cinderella spotlights, upset alerts, and some of that value for the last team standing. It's tourney time, so hunker down and bet the board with us. Subscribe and listen to Cash the Ticket in the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.